Good afternoon, sir. Would you state your name and ADC number for the record, sir?
Yes, it's Theodore Serrato, and my number is 223933.
Thank you so much, Mr. Serrato. You appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your revocation hearing regarding the one allegation on your warrant, and based upon information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on November the 22nd of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
And that was the form that you signed, and on there stated that, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one present today, therefore may we assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
That is correct.
And as you can see, there are two board members participating in your hearing today, and they are the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair. We also have in the room with us today the gentleman that you should be able to see now. That is the Honorable Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Mr. Serrano and Mr. Osborne, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes,
I do, sir.
Thank you. As I indicated, Mr. Serrano, you have one allegation on your warrant. I'm going to read it, and once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false, sir? And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to enter and successfully complete the ITH program at PRC, that is Pima Reentry Center, then in Tucson, on or about October 18, 2017, as verbally or written, directed on October 2nd, 2017. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus you was in a stranger from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Thank you, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Serrano, I'm going to find that he violated terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
By unanimous determination of the board, sir, you have been found in violation of terms and conditions of your supervision. Now we're preparing to go into phase two of your hearing, and in phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to return you to the community, sir. Before we go any further, we're going to give some background information on you, and that will be provided to us by Mr. Osborne from the Department of Corrections. And following that information, we'll come back and talk to you before we make a decision. Mr. Osborne, sir, would you present us some background information?
Yes, sir. Mr. Serrato was released from DOC custody on June 15th, 2017. He was arrested on October 29th of 2017 by the Mesa Police Department on his misconduct warrant status and was returned to our custody that same day with 11 abscond days with a community supervision end date of December 25th of 2017. Current conviction, 2015, aggravated assault, 3 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 2007, drive-by shooting, 5 years. He has 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4-4, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There's no SGG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2012, he was an absolute discharge. He has a modern disciplinary history with drugs, assaults, rioting, and fighting noted. Other arrests, 2003, aggravated assault, AZ juvenile probation, and 2004, aggravated robbery, AZ juvenile probation, and he has a community risk score of G4V5.
Okay, thank you so very much, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Serrato, we are back to you, sir, and let me turn the page so that I can get to the case supervision summary, and I'm just going to go over a few notes just very briefly. It seems to me that when you were initially released, and you were released homeless, and then you was directed to establish residence at Deep Within, in Peoria, Arizona, and then you were directed to accept, to establish residence at Coppola Recovery, which is another halfway house, and then you were directed to reside at V-Ray in Phoenix, and then you were to go to the RCBM program, and I believe that was also at V-Ray, and then you were discharged from V-Ray, and according to your supervisor, Nash, you eventually, and you you left and you didn't return, and then you resided, I guess, at Pima Reentry Center down in Tucson. Then you provided no address while on supervision. What was going on in terms of where you were residing and what, why you weren't providing addresses, sir? What was going on, sir?
I don't really have like any excuses or reasons, you know. I started out doing well, and I found myself in a position where I wasn't doing so well, and parole was doing their best to put me in different places to help me deal with the issues that I was facing, and I just neglected to take advantage of those opportunities. There's really no excuse or reason, you know.
What were some of the issues you were facing that the reason you just couldn't adjust, sir? What was going on in your life? Anything in particular? Was just some, just generally, it just didn't work out for you?
No, I mean, I knew we all had issues. There was definitely a lot of things going on in my life as far as, you know, trying to be adjust to being a new parent and just adjust to being sober and living out in the community after doing X amount of time. It was more just I relapsed. And then trying to get over it, you know, parole put me in a new place. And a lot of these places, and I'm not blaming parole, there's only so many resources that are available, I understand that. But a lot of these places are infested with drugs and things like that. And so it's pretty much like putting an alcoholic in a bar and expecting him to get clean. You know, I was trying to get clean in these places that there's a lot of drugs there. And if I would have had more sobriety under my belt, then I probably would have done better. But I went to these places typically with only a couple of days of sobriety under my belt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir. Well, that's a good example that you used there. I hope that you will remember that and that you will share that with others. We do show that you did have employment while you were out. I guess that's what it is, logistical. How long were you employed there, sir, on Broadway and
Tiffany? I was employed at Logic Hall Marketing, I'd say, for about 3 weeks, maybe a month.
Okay, what were you doing there? What kind of work were you doing there, sir?
It was a telemarketing job. I think that's probably what put a part in my downfall, because it just wasn't a very rewarding job as far as, you know, mentally and spiritually. You know, I felt like I was scamming people, but it was the only job I could get at the time, you know?
I appreciate your recognizing that, and I just wish you had been able to stay and work everything out with your parole officer. I also take note, sir, and I'm not going over all of this line by line, but it seems that initially you your UAs were negative when you submitted them. At some point you didn't submit them, but then you became positive for THC. I think that's marijuana. And then towards the end of amphetamine. So what was going on? So why were you using these drugs, marijuana? You just kept being positive for marijuana, and what was going on, sir?
I think, I mean, honestly, I've had time to sit and reflect. I've been locked up for about a month, and I've been thinking, you know, trying to really sit and think about where I went wrong, you know. I think this is just the answer that I came to in my head, right? I seen people when I was in Alhambra, and they were having a conversation with each other, and they were talking about how they feel, you know, like when people come in the room or whatever, and there's a lot of people, they start feeling uncomfortable, and they feel like they have to leave, like, I guess, institutionalized in a way, you know? I don't think that I'm institutionalized like that, but I think that a lot of my drug use starts because I don't know how to, like, interact sometimes, and I start feeling like the pressure's on, and, like, I gotta impress people or make them laugh, and I found myself around the wrong people because only people that aren't typically into good things are going to be impressed with somebody that's acting out or impressing them because he's high on drugs. You know, I feel it was kind of like energizing me, and I don't know. I feel like I explained that pretty bad, but...
No, you explained it quite well. It makes sense to me. I'm just sorry that had happened to you, but where were you getting these drugs from when you were out, sir? Where were they coming from?
The first time, my first downfall with the hard drugs came from, I went to hang out with my brother. You know, I made an excuse to go over there because I dropped my phone and I broke the screen, and he told me he had another phone, but I knew he was getting high, and I knew that if I went over there, there was a good chance I was going to end up getting high, you know, and... It was just one of those things where, you know, I don't know, like, it's hard to even explain, like, why I went, you know, it's just, because I was doing so well, like you said, you see the negative reports, I was really involved in my church, I was doing service work, I was a part of NA, going to meetings every day, I was going to Celebrate Recovery, and I don't know, it's just, I can't explain it, you know, I sit and think about it, I'm doing everything I can to prepare myself for, you know, either today or the 25th, whenever I get out, to make sure that doesn't happen. But I wish I had an answer for you, and I hope I find it before then, you know?
I'm sure you will, because as my distinguished colleague would say, I appreciate and enjoy what you're saying, and I just hope that you will apply that to yourself so that you can be successful whenever you get out, whether it's today, whether it's on that big holiday that they call Christmas. I note that you were enrolled in substance abuse treatment, but you missed 1, 2, 3 classes. So why did you miss your classes, sir? I know the CHC. That's the CHC.
The CHC classes.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Honestly, the first class that I went to is because I started. That's when I was smoking weed. I started smoking weed, and I literally went all the way to a classroom, and I was sitting there waiting for the class to start. I took the bus for like an hour almost just to get there, and for some reason I just felt like, honestly, where I was, because I felt like I looked stoned, and I felt like I was going to be, I knew being the new guy in the class, I was going to be on the spot, everybody's going to be asking me who I was and what my story was, and I guess I just felt self-conscious about being stoned. I felt bad, I didn't want to trigger anybody else into relapsing, and after I missed the first class, I didn't want to go to the second class, because then I'd have to answer why I didn't go to the first class, and you know, okay. I mean, that's it, honestly.
Let me just ask one other question. What were you doing when the Mason Police Department picked you up?
Well, a friend of mine was inside Walmart, and she was shoplifting, and she had been taking a long time. I didn't, like, know what she was doing in there, so I went in there to get her, and I went in there to get her, and I walked out with her, and because she had been shoplifting, I got jammed up with her, and then they ran my name, and I had a warrant.
Oh, okay. Therefore, you have to be careful with who you're hanging out with. I think that's a lesson that you have to learn, that we all have to learn. But at this time, I'm going to yield to my distinguished, outstanding colleague, the most honorable Mr. Kiwanis, if he might have any questions for you, sir.
I have no questions, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. We're coming to the end of your hearing, Mr. Serrao. Therefore, we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board. Anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself this afternoon, sir?
I just want to thank the world for giving me as many opportunities as they did. I just wish I would have taken better advantage of the help that was provided. That's all.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. Now the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet, stay on the phone, as the board will go into discussion, and following this discussion, the board will make its decision. I'm impressed with Mr. Serrao. I think that he had the right idea, but something just didn't click. He just... As the people said back, I guess it was the 70s or 80s, whenever people were saying that, he just couldn't say no. If he had been able to say no, we wouldn't be talking to him today. But I think that somehow he was a part of him. And as he said, which I think is not only true of him, but it's true of a number of people, he felt that one way to impress people was to do what they do and to make them feel good and make them laugh and have fun. And somehow each of us have to be our own person. I think that from my perspective, and I'll go on and on, I'm just going to say this, I put it this way, I'm not in favor, but especially since he's going to be out, as I believe Mr. Kiwanis would tell me, he's going to be out in, how many days is it, 24?
24 days.
24 days he's going to be out, and I think it would be just complete those 24 days, come up with a plan and go from there, but I am prepared to listen to my distinguished colleague.
I agree with you, Doctor.
Okay, thank you so very much. Therefore, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Serrano violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company, inasmuch as he did abscond for 11 days and he did use some illegal substances, i.e. Marijuana, THC, and amphetamine. I further move to revoke this community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
By the unanimous determination of the board, sir, your community supervision has been revoked. However, you will be released on that big day, December the 25th. At that point, you're going to be on your own. You won't have anybody else to report to. You won't have a parole officer. And that's just a few days before the turn of the new year. And I hope that as you move into the new year, 2018, you'll be a different person. You won't get in any trouble anymore, and we will never have to see you again under these circumstances, sir. Your hearing is over. Thank you so much for your participation, and we wish you the best, sir.
All right, thank you guys. Have a nice day.
And you too, sir.
You too. Thank you.